What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 44. We continue on. The summer series continues. The state of the NBA. We've been going over each team in every division. Start out in the Western Conference. So today we close out the Western Conference. We're going to talk about the Southwest Division. But first up, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, bro. We good. Summertime here. You know, the Olympics is going on. So, you know.
I know. Seeing Team USA, you know, handle business. Our 3-on-3 teams, though, they looking kind of light right now. The men and women. I don't know what's going on. They got to get it together. But it is dope to see the 3-on-3 competition in the Olympics. Like, it's a really dope thing to see. But it's intense. You forget how it can be conditioning-wise. It can be a test for you because as soon as another team makes the basket or they miss it, there's no time to check it up. Like, you got to reset the ball. You got to go right away. So they're constantly moving. It's fun to watch, though.
Yeah, that 3-on-3, it's good that they have it in the Olympics because people don't know 3-on-3 is a different ball game than 5-on-5. It's not, you know, it's still basketball, but it's different. It's more space, but it's also harder on the defenders. And you talked about the no checkup after a basket. I actually played in the 3-on-3 league that was like that, and that I was like, yo, I thought I was in shape. I mean, I'm in a little bit of shape, but that it's where you out. You got to be in top tier shape for that.
It's tough. Even with the big three, you hear those guys who have played in the NBA and haven't played for, you know, they're retired, but they tell you, like, it's tough, like, because you got to think, even like a 2-on-2 type of setting, there is no time to take a break, right? Because you have to guard your man. If you slack on defense, they pretty much got an advantage. It's pretty much 2-on-1, right? So there's no time. You know, you're not running back and forth full court wise. It's still grueling. You're still banging bodies, trying to get rebounds, trying to get stops. So yeah, it's definitely it's tough. It reminds you how tough it is. But USA got to get it together. They're looking kind of light right now, but we'll see. Let's get to some NBA talk though. Like I said, the Southwest Division is where we're going to right now. And what we do is we start from the winner of last year's division. We go down the standings, finishing up, of course, according to who finished last. So. In first place in the Southwest was the Dallas Mavericks, Western Conference champs, losing to the Celtics in the finals. You know the drill. If you don't, this is what we do. We go over their additions, their losses, and we go over their roster, and then we give our viewpoint on the state of the franchise, what we see them doing next year, and what the future looks like. It's pretty much a theme for each team. So with the Mavs, they added, of course, Klay Thompson, the Warriors legend, Najee Marshall, Quentin Grimes. They lost Josh Green. He's with the Hornets. Tim Hardaway Jr. is with the Pistons. And Derrick Jones with the Clippers. So we're looking at a roster of Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Spencer Dinwiddie. They brought him back recently. Najee Marshall, Derek Lively, Maxi Kleber, Quentin Grimes, Dante Exum, Dwight Powell, and Olivier Maxence Prosper. Those are the names that, you know, people should definitely check for. Those are the notable names. So Western Conference champs from last year, Luka and Kyrie, of course, bringing in Klay Thompson. What's the outlook for the Mavs this season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Mavs, they'll definitely be back in the contending mix. I was happy to see Kyrie and Luka get happen to make it work after what happened the year before. They didn't even make the playoffs. So to see them make the finals was big. That PJ Washington move they made at the deadline was big for them. Obviously, it's going to come down to two people for me. If they really want to go back and maybe even win it this time, it's going to come down to Klay. What Klay are we going to get? Now, odds are he's not going to get back to what we know him to used to be. But in that Mavericks offense, all he has to really do is hit open shots, right? He's going to get a lot of open looks with Luka and Kyrie, two top-tier perimeter threats. He's going to get a lot of open catch-and-shoot looks. And he has to be able to defend at a, you know, decent level. Like, we're not saying he has to be an elite lockdown defender how he used to be, but he needs to be able to stay in front of his man, know where his help is at, you know, just be smarter and be able to move quicker on his feet. Another key to me is Derek Lively, man. He had a good rookie season. Now it's time for him to take that next step. I would like to see him shoot the three ball more. We've seen that I think he did it in the finals game. He made one in the finals game. He used to shoot in college. We see him in these warm-up videos, practice videos. His form doesn't look bad. It actually looks good. Like, it's a good shooting form. So he just has to be more confident. And I feel like during the regular season, they can help build that confidence up. But if he can expand on his offensive game and Klay can get back to, you know, somewhat of his former self, they'll be a dangerous threat for sure, and they could even be better than last year.
Yeah, you got Luka and Kyrie. You're going to have a chance. Those guys offensively can just go off, and having both of those guys at the same time, learning how to play with each other, like, you're going to have a chance, right? I love the additions of Klay Thompson. If he can regain his – look, he'll be able to shoot it. Like, he's going to get open looks. So if Klay is the Klay that we've known him to be, great addition. I like the Najee Marshall addition. Defensively, he brings a toughness and an edge to this team. We'll see if Quentin Grimes can sort of grow in a role in Dallas. That would be great. Expect Lively to improve. Daniel Gafford, he's a solid big man for his role. Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe he can, you know, find his groove again and being back in Dallas. Maybe he can be an explosive third scorer for them. The thing with me with Dallas, and this was the issue in the Boston series, right? Outside of Luka and Kyrie, who can you count on consistently to put that pressure on the defense to where the team has to, like, really account for you, right? Can P.J. Washington be that guy with this year of experience in the playoffs and the finals? Can he step it up? Can he be a guy that can defenses have, like, you have to check for him and account for him, right? And so that's my big question. Maybe it's a Spencer Dinwiddie, but that's my only question mark with Dallas. Who is going to be that third offensive threat? We're saying at this point, Klay's a spot-up shooter, right? Okay. But who's that third, like, really guy? Give me the ball. I'm going to go and get it. Who would be that third guy for you on this team that can really be a threat,
the provide best,
that pressure on the defense? And that's my only question with Dallas.
The best option that you could say is P.J. Washington, but that's not really his game, so they don't really have one.
Like I said, maybe a Spencer Dinwiddie can refine his game in Dallas, maybe. You know what I mean? But
he would be coming off the bench. That's the thing.
Right. Like, but that would be a good thing for them off the bench because they – offensively off the bench, who else do you have to rely on? You know what I'm saying?
Like, Hardy makes a crazy leap.
Yeah, Jaden Hardy. I forgot to mention him. Right.
He would have to.
Is he even going to get consistent minutes? I don't know. And I like Hardy. Like, I love that he was getting some minutes in the playoffs. I thought he should have got some more opportunities. Maybe he will this year. We'll see what happens. But you got Luka and Kai. You're going to have a chance. Klay should have an opportunity to just feast behind the three-point line this year. Dallas is going to be in the hunt. They are, just simply because of Kai and Luka. Like, that's just what it is. Next up, we got the Pelicans. Their big move was getting DeJounte Murray from the Hawks. They added Daniel Tice. They drafted Yves Missi, the big man from Baylor. They also drafted Antonio Reeves from Kentucky. They added Trey Jemison. He was the big man from Memphis. They lost Dyson Daniels. He's with the Hawks. Of course, we just mentioned Najee Marshall is in Dallas now. Larry Nance is with the Hawks. And Jonas Valanciunas is with the Wizards. So your lineup in New Orleans, DeJounte Murray, C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, Yves Missi, Jose Alvarado, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Daniel Tice, and Jordan Hawkins. Those are some of the bigger names on that roster. What's the theme for the Pelicans this year? Can they get right?
Well, I like the DeJounte Murray move. That's a good move. I feel like him and Trey wasn't really a good, you know, fit, so to say, even though we only seen it for a small sample size. I think we knew, like, you can't make the playoffs in the East, something's wrong with that talent that they had on the roster. So him going to the Pelicans, I feel like it would be a good move for him. The question is, what are we doing with Brandon Ingram? That's the question here. There's been reports about him trading. I know in the playoffs, him and Willie Green were seeing eye to eye about a few things. Pelicans, it's a team that we know every year we say, oh, they have some talent on the roster, and they do, which is true, but it seems like something's always holding them back, whether it be Zion's injury or Brandon Ingram consistent play. Then they had CJ playing out of position. So for them, they just need to have some sense of direction. And, I mean, everybody needs to be held accountable, even Zion. Like, you know, we know about him, you know, in the weight situation and, you know, taking care of his body. But the reality is we kind of knew this coming in, like, yo, we don't know how healthy he's going to be able to stay, you know, moving, jumping that high at this level, at that size. So the theme for them is they just need to get some sense of direction. And they're in a bad position because it's like they're a team that's good enough to make these playoff runs, but they're not good enough to do anything else. And we know no team wants to be in that. So, I mean, after this season, it's like – they're not going to trade Zion now, like before the season. But if during the season things aren't going right, they might got to think, like, yo, is it time to move on from you? Same with B.I. You know, they might have to get rid of him before the season because, like I said, him and Willie Green was getting into it. And B.I., he's a scorer, but he can be inconsistent at times. And when he's not scoring, what is he really doing for? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's just – that team's just odd to me. Like, I don't know. The Pelicans always been odd to me. Even – like, even when they had AD, they just always had odd rosters. Like, it was just weird. Except for that time, of course, when they had Boogie and AD. That was tough, but we see it didn't last long. So – that's my thoughts on them for this season.
Pelicans, I look at the roster. It's a collection of nice talent. Even the younger guys, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, like great role player. What he brings, Jordan Hawkins, I think can be a really good player. At what point do we get honest about Zion? Let's not get blinded by his athleticism. Let's not get blinded by what we saw at Duke. And what we see when he is healthy, at what point do we get honest and really question, okay, is he the type of basketball player that can raise the ceiling of an NBA team to be a championship team? I'm not questioning his talent, his athleticism. We get it. What he does, what he's done, his high school mixtape, his Duke highlights, amazing, right? But at what point do we question and wonder when does it translate to actually being consistent healthy-wise, taking your body and conditioning seriously, taking your game and elevating it and elevating your other teammates as well, because that's what it comes down to. At what point do we say, is he the guy or not in New Orleans? Because too many times we question, we confuse freakish athlete and elite talent with championship level talent as far as being the number one guy on a team, right? Like it can easily be confused, right? Like Anthony Davis is a great talent. I don't think he's a number one on a championship team. Like there's a lot of guys who are great number twos on championship level teams, right? So with Zion, that's my question. And I don't know. I saw what Ja and Zion were in the same draft class. I saw what Ja did for Memphis right away. Like, you see the gradual steps, right, that the Grizzlies have taken. But Ja, with his energy, his play style, I always say it. It was Allen Iverson-like level of energy and impact. In Philly, that's what you saw. That's what I saw in Memphis. Like, you saw from day one, does Zion have that ability? Or is it too – is this the year – because rookie year was 2019. It's going to be 2025 next year. At what point – like what are we doing here? And that's my biggest question about Zion. Like, do you think that's him or we don't know yet?
I just think even if it is him, the injury history is not – we look at Embiid, right? We think somebody that, you know, should be him, but his injury history alone held him back from that. Mm-hmm. And Zion's younger than him with more – he seems to be hurt just as much as Embiid. Mm-hmm. So even if we were to say from a skill set-wise point of view, I don't think he is a number one just because I think his jumper is not good enough. So I would say no. But he's still good enough to make an impact on a championship team for sure. He's a star in the league. But – just the fact that he can't stay healthy and his game hasn't progressed to nothing, I think it's time to move on. I honestly do. You know, it was cool. The hype was there. He put fans in the seats during, you know, his first couple years. But now I'm trying to – and, like, while you were talking, I was trying to think, like, what is his playoff resume? I don't even know. Has he played in the playoffs? If he has, how many games has it been? What did he do? Like, I don't even remember because it's like nothing stands out. Like, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it.
Zion 6'6", 284 pounds.
They say he dropped from some of that 284, but even then, he's still big. Still a big guy, 6'6".
And this was my question even when he first started out in the league. How does his game age? Some players' games are just going to age hard. Right. Luka's game is going to age well because he doesn't rely on athleticism anyway, right? To some players, you just know their style of play, whether it's recklessness, so their body's going to take a beating, whether it's just their body type. Some games just aren't going to age well. And with Zion, my concern, if you're a New Orleans Pelicans franchise trying to figure out the next decade, is he a guy that you want to really go all in with his body type, with his injury history, and his skill set? His skill set is using his physical gifts, like bodying dudes. Like, I don't blame him. Like, he's 6'6", 284, can jump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't, like, his ability to be so strong and to jump so quickly off the floor, it's special. But that's not going to last long. So when he starts creeping on 30, the injuries pile up. He ain't jumping as he once was, right? He doesn't have the greatest handle in the world for a 6'6 player. He doesn't really have any offensive moves. Doesn't have a consistent jumper. So who is Zion as a basketball player? What skill set, when you watch him play, like, what skill set do you say, okay, that's an elite skill? What is Zion's elite basketball skill set is what I'm
saying. Doesn't have one. He's just, we know what he is. He's a, you know, he's going to try to use his body, get to the paint. He's very athletic. He can play make. He showed that this year, even though it's not elite level playmaking, but he can do it. It's not elite though. Mm-hmm. We know he's not a shooter. Mm-hmm. So when you talk, like you say, he's not a great ball handler. So when you, like you said, skill set, I mean, that's what it is. That's his what it power. Is. He's not really, yeah, he's not really a skillful player at all.
His power. And once the athleticism goes away, what do you have?
Right.
And so for me, I want to start to see the development, really getting in the gym and working on your skills. Because Zion, you got to think, he's the kid who was in high school who never, like, you saw the high school highlights. He got away with everything. Because he could have, like, who else was 6'6", pushing 250, 260 in high school when he was playing, right? Even at Duke, he was a man child. You come into the league, these guys are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot. They're skilled. They can run. They can jump. You're not getting away with that as often as you once did, right? And so you got to find ways to expand your game to survive and have a lasting, long career, successful career. And so for Zion, that's, to me, with the Pelicans, it all comes down to, who is Zion? Is he the franchise player to lead your team to a championship, or is he a complimentary piece? That's the theme for the Pelicans. They got to figure that out. They may already have that answer, but when you have a talent like Zion, it's not easy to just say we're going to trade him, because you're not going to – I mean, what value are you really going to get back? That might set you back a few years, right? And are you willing to take that loss in order to jump ahead for the next decade, right? And that's the question they have to ask themselves. So for me, the Pelicans are a no man's land. I don't – are they a championship contender? I have a hard time seeing that right now. And I really like Willie Green as a head coach. I think he's a really good head coach. I like the talent on this team. But, yeah, it's just so many – there's always the same questions. It's Zion. It's the health, the consistency of certain guys. Like, and the question remains the same for the Pelicans. So nothing's changing. On to the Houston Rockets. Young team on the rise. They added Reed Shepherd. We'll talk about him, the rookie out of Kentucky. They got AJ Griffin Jr. in the trade, and they got Nfale Dante, big man out of Oregon. He's a rookie. They lost Reggie Bullock, and they lost Boban Marjanovic. So your rosters, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Sengun, Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore, Steven Adams, and Jeff Green. Are the Rockets serious contenders this year? Are they a threat to at least make a play-in? Could they make the playoffs?
They're not making the playoffs. Playing, possibly, because I believe they were right outside of the play-in last year. I remember they were trying to make a late season push. With the addition of Reed Shepherd, who I think is going to be good, you know, to start out in the league, and some of the other young guys that have another chance, you know, to get better and develop. Sengun coming back. I think they could definitely make a run at the play-in. But that's about it. They're not going to make the playoffs. You know what's up with the Rockets. Young team. They have a lot of different young pieces mixed with some veterans like Fred. You said they had Jeff Green, right?
Yeah, they got Jeff Green still.
Yeah, so, you know, Dylan Brooks, you know, these Steven Adams, they got some veterans. They have some good young players. We know Jalen Green. We know about Sengun, Thompson. Right. Even Kim Whitmore, Tari Eason, Jabari
Smith. Really good young core.
They got, like, there's a lot of talent on this roster. So it's just about them at this point. I don't see them going to the playoffs just because the West is so, you know, it's so stacked. If they were in the East, maybe. But they definitely can make a play-in run. And that would be good for them because, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But the only way to make the playoffs is if one of these young guys take a real leap, like a leap where we're putting them into, you know, top 10 young players in the league, top 15 young players in the league conversation. Other than that, they'll be where they've been at, you know, for the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, Houston's going to be a league pass team for me. You know, they're a team that I'm just going to tune in just to see some exciting plays, see how the young guys are going. But I'm not really expecting much from them when it comes to a win-loss standpoint. You want to continue to see the development and growth of those young guys that we just talked about. I'm excited about Reese Shepard. I was a huge look. I'm always going to, like, support Kentucky guards. I just feel like more often than not, you take a shot and you'll see what happens. Based off the summer league performance, Reese Shepard is going to get his game off in the league. And I love what he has in Houston to sort of complement his play style. You got a Jalen Green, athletic guard, Jabari Smith, another big in Al Prince and Goon, in Thompson. So I'm excited to see how Reed Shepard, with his passing skills, his ability to shoot it, how he can improve at that team. But I think we talked about it before on a draft preview show. My issue with Houston is that they don't have the guy yet. I don't think the guy has been revealed. People, I think they might have hoped for Jalen Green being that. But Jalen Green may be nothing more than just a really talented scorer. Is he a number one on a contender? I don't think so, based off just what we've seen, his game. That's all I can go off of. What you've shown me so far in the league, and I don't think that's him. I like Jabari Smith's talent, but it's not him. Al Prince and Goon is really talented, but once again, to be a big man and to be the best player on the championship team, you got to be special like Jokic. You got to be special like an Embiid, right? And even Embiid he's yet to make a conference finals yet, right? And so more often than not, your best player on the championship team has to be a wing player or, you know, a perimeter-oriented player, right? And so Houston, they don't have that player yet. And I think, for me, until they get that person, until that player is revealed, whether it's Jalen Green or whatever, I don't think they take that next leap yet until they find that guy. Because you're in the Western Conference. Denver, we know who their guy is. Minnesota, we know who their guy is. Dallas, they got two of them guys. Memphis, we know who their guy is. And so, yeah, that's my question with Houston. Like, who's your guy? And I'm not sure it's been revealed yet. I don't know if it's on this roster yet. But I'm excited about Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard's going to be really good. And maybe he can be somebody who helps elevate them to a higher level. We'll see. He's just a rookie. But league pass team for sure for me. Next up, a team I'm buying all the stock in. Salute to the Memphis Grizzlies. They added Zach Edey, the big man. Drafted him in the lottery. He showed out in the summer league. They got my guy Cam Spencer out of UConn. Then they got Jalen Wells. They're three rookies. They lost Zaire Williams. He's now with the Nets. Utah Watanabe is a free agent. Lamar Stevens is a free agent. So your roster is looking like Ja Morant, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey, G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams Jr. They just re-upped with Luke Kennard, Scottie Pippen Jr., Santi Aldama. A lot of people forgot about Brandon Clark. He's back. And then salute to Derrick Rose, providing that veteran presence as well. So the Grizzlies, how we feeling?
They'll be back in the mix. Yeah. Long as everybody stays healthy, everybody stays out of trouble.
Yeah.
They'll be back in the mix. And I'm ready to see Ja get back up there. I know he's hungry because he's seeing a lot of the young guys, you know, kind of people are kind of, you know, forgetting about him. You know, we've seen his rise to stardom has been, you know, fun to watch. But that was Ja a couple seasons ago, you know. So now I know Ja's ready to get back. And like, I'm still here. I'm still one of the top young guys in the league, even SGA, you know what I mean, Jalen Brunson. A lot of these guards that's in the same, you know, talks as him have kind of passed them up, you know, as far as recent basketball talk. So I know as a player, he hears that. And he's always had a chip on his shoulder. You know, he went to a small school. He wasn't highly recruited out of high school. But, you know, he's made a name for himself. You know, he just has to stay focused. And he definitely can lead them back to the playoffs. Though I think they're ready to be a championship team yet, no. But they have a talented roster with an elite player. So, you know, they'll be in the playoffs for sure. Maybe they make it to the second round. The way the West goes is so sporadic, you never know. They might make a conference finals run. You never know. You know, it's all about matchups when it gets down to that time. But they'll definitely be top two in this division if everything, you know, is, you know, cool for them.
I was very excited about this Grizzlies team last year. They weren't very good. But for those who don't know, there was a reason for that. We know about Ja and off the court, what he had going on. Desmond Bane missed pretty much almost half the season. And Desmond Bane is a really good player. Like, he's a 20-point-per-game scorer. Brandon Clark was hurt. Just last year was about unknown guys really stepping up into bigger roles and really showing that they can play in the league. I'm talking about G.G. Jackson. I'm talking about Vince Williams Jr. Asante Aldama, Scottie Pippen Jr. showing some promise. He looked good in the summer league. And so having those guys grow in confidence and seeing that they can play in this league, all of a sudden you get a Ja Morant back, you get a Bane back healthy, you get Marcus Smart back healthy. Those guys can now transition down to their appropriate roles. And I think Memphis is going to be a problem this year. The regular season, you know, a lot of teams just take for granted November and December games, right? And that's why I was confident about OKC having such a great season last year, because I felt like with their energy and their style of play and their mindset, they were going to get some wins easily in the regular season. I think Memphis, with Ja Morant having a point to prove, with a lot of guys here having like Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Zach Edey, there's going to be an attitude and an energy and momentum that I feel like Memphis is going to carry out, that at the All-Star break, we're looking at the standings and Memphis is going to be top four in the Western Conference. Like, I really do believe that. We talked about Zach Edey. A lot of people have their thoughts. Memphis probably was, as far as the lottery teams, this was the best situation for him. Because if he went anywhere else, I wasn't going to be so sure about how he would transition. But now, you got Ja, you got Bane, you got Jaren Jackson, Marcus Smart, G.G. Jackson. Like, he doesn't have to be the fifth. He doesn't even have to be the top four scoring option on this team. Your role is simple. Set these picks, which is going to – his pick is going to be crazy. Free up Ja and these guys. Roll to the basket. Be a presence. This is a big body. And so Memphis is a perfect situation to where, when healthy, they're a playoff team. They didn't have many major needs except that big man spot. So they didn't have to draft for talent, because truthfully speaking, Zach Edey wasn't the most talented player on that board left when they were drafting. Definitely wasn't. But he was what they needed. And so in this case, I can support that decision, because I'm always the one that says go with talent at all times. But in this situation, I see why they drafted Zach Edey. I think it is the right decision. I'm excited about G.G. Jackson. I think he's going to be one of the most improved players this year. He might be my pick to win most improved. Vince Williams defensively, he's a menace. Marcus Smart's a menace defensively. And so just the makeup of this team, you have scoring, you have shooting with Luke Kennard, Jaren Jackson and Zach Edey. You got the talented bigs. Brandon Clark is back. I'm excited about this team. So for me, yeah, they're top four in the Western Conference for me right now. Because you look at the top four last year, it was OKC, Denver, Minnesota, and the Clippers. I mean, Dallas was fifth. I can really see Memphis being top four this year. Definitely top five, but I don't see them being a playing team. I don't see them falling out of the top six in the Western Conference. Just the energy with Ja coming back, Bane coming back healthy. Like, these guys are going to be ready to go in November and December, January. While other teams may be, you know, calling it a night, low management, taking things for granted, whatever the case may be. Nah, they're not going to be losing to Chicago in December They're not going to be losing to Detroit. Like, I mean, like, they're going to be rolling through these teams. And so, for me, that's going to help them so much. And whereas some teams look at March, you know, February, March, April, they got to scramble just to make the play-in. Memphis is going to handle their business early. They're going to be a playoff team. So, I'm confident in saying that. Finally, got the last place Spurs. Their big addition was Chris Paul. They added Harrison Barnes. They got my other UConn guy, Stephon Castle. Harrison Ingram from UNC. Salute to you. They lost Devontae Graham. He's with the Blazers now. Seti Osman is a free agent. So your roster is Victor Wembanyama, Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, Harrison Barnes, Jeremy Sohan, Trey Jones, Stephon Castle, Keldon Johnson, Zach Collins. Who else? Got Julian Champagne, Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley, and Harrison Ingram. The San Antonio Spurs. What's the thought process for them this year?
This is just a year they should just be trying to compete and develop. They made a step in the right direction getting Castle. I think that's going to be huge for them. I like Chris Paul going there with Wimby. That's going to, you know, help his game a lot tremendously and his IQ. It's going to help the rest of the team too. But unfortunately, they're not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. Just go out there, compete, help these young guys get better. Same with Chris Paul. Help, you know, have him help these young guys get better, and you know, try to win as many games as possible. Yeah, but they're not going to make the playoffs. But they're going to be exciting to watch. Like I want to see Castle. I want to see what he does. I want to see Wimby, you know, continue to elevate. I want to see Vassell. I want to see him keep hooping. Right. So they have a lot of young talent. We know what Wimby's going to do. The only thing about this is I don't want them to be one of them teams that's like they're winning too many games to where they're on the back end of the lottery, because that might happen. And because this is a draft class that's going to be loaded. And, you know, I want them to be in that mix to get one of these elite guys to go with Wimby. That way they can really take off after. So they just need to focus on getting better and developing these talent. That's all.
I just don't want to see Jeremy Sohan ever play point guard again.
Like, yeah, let's not have that.
I would tune in to League Pass. The Spurs are one of my League Pass teams because of Wimby. And Wimby's great. He's going to be great. But that was malpractice. Like, if you're watching Jeremy Sohan play basketball, play the point guard position, you don't have to be a basketball fan or know the game or have played the game to realize he wasn't in his right position. I'm so confused if you're a point guard on the Spurs, how you do not average double digit in assists. Because there's many times where Wimby is clearly open, right? Easy lob, easy dish. I mean, he's 7'6". Put your hands up, just throw it up. Like, he's going to catch it. And so for me, it was basketball malpractice. I get it. You're trying to see. You're trying to develop Sohan. You're trying to get him comfortable with the ball. Maybe that's your thinking, but he's an energy guy. If you watched him at Baylor, he is an energy guy. I love him in that role. But no, it doesn't do anybody any favors. It doesn't help out Wimby. And so this past season pretty much was just Wimby trying to figure it out on his own pretty much, right? A bunch of young guys. They're not helping you with the point guard play. So just figure it out. Work through the adversity, which may end up being a really positive experience for him. But now – clock is ticking. We know what Wimby is. We know the talent that he is. You can't waste any time. Like, you got to really capitalize on the special talent that you have. You got to build a winning foundation. And adding a Chris Paul as a point guard, you know, Chris Paul is going to – he's not the player as he once was. We know that. But this is still one of the best point guards ever, one of the best players ever, a Hall of Famer as soon as he's done playing the game. We know what Chris Paul is going to do. Harrison Barnes, a solid veteran, championship experience with the Warriors. Solid ball player, right? And so this year to me is about, because building winning habits is important, right? Learning how to play the game is important. And so for the Spurs, like you said, competing and actually playing winning basketball, getting Wimby in positions to actually be at his best, because there were times where he wasn't put in those positions by virtue of just the lack of competent point guard play at times. There's no reason Jeremy Sohan should have been playing point guard. I'm sorry. Right? So that experiment needs to be done. And so, yeah, just want to see the growth and development of the Spurs this year. I love Devin Vassell. I love his game. Keldon Johnson, we'll see what his future holds, but I like his game. Stephon Castle, huge fan of his at UConn. He's a guy who I think is going to be a really good building foundational piece. Championship player at UConn. I think he has the type of skills and talents that are going to come in handy for the Spurs and what they're trying to accomplish. And also, he has more to his game than what he showed at UConn. I'm excited to see what he does at the next level with more, even more freedom, I think, at the next level. And learning from a Chris Paul as well. Don't overlook that as well. For a young point guard to come into the league and you're playing with Chris Paul, like, yeah, there's no other better situation. Oh, and you have this generational talent in Wimby. And so I love that situation for Castle and the Spurs. And so I can see them flirting maybe with the play-in spot. That's their ceiling. But this roster is still a ways away. Lottery 2025, they can get a really special player to team up with Wimby and Castle and Vassell and whoever else they might add. Like this, for me, this is a building block year. And after 2025, seeing what they do with that draft and free agency and the trades, then I'll have a better gauge of where I see this franchise going. But they got to start now. Rookie year was cute. Let's see what Wimby can do. Let's experiment with things. But now the clock is ticking, because what you don't want to do is 2 years from now, you're still in the same spot. Oh, Wimby's rookie contract is up soon. I'm looking to win. I got to win. You're not a serious franchise right now. You're not supporting me with the support I need. You don't want to be in that position. So you got to start figuring out, how do we build a winning foundation? I think they have the necessary front office and the coaching staff and the history to do it. Now it's about executing it. So that's my expectation and theme for the Spurs. So that was the Southwest Division. We're done with the Western Conference, bro. Next show, we're going to tackle the Eastern Conference, which is home to our team, the 76ers, the defending champs, Boston Celtics. So this is – the Eastern Conference is going to be fun. Next week, we'll start off with the Atlantic. Then we'll go to the Central and then the Southeast. Well, we're going to take a week off next week, but when we return, we'll tackle the Atlantic, then the Central, then the Southeast. And pretty soon, we got the NFL too. We're going to touch some football too. I got some thoughts about a certain team in Texas that's been really quiet lately. I got some thoughts about that team that has its own show on HBO. Just a lot of thoughts about some NFC East teams. I'm enjoying it. Saquon Barkley is really a Philadelphia Eagle. Like, yeah. So yeah, let's really dive into some football talk, training camp. What are your thoughts? Just real quick, what are your thoughts on just the season and the Eagles, especially? We're Philly fans, as you guys know. You may not know. Just your thoughts on what the Eagles can do this year, real quick.
I think we're gonna be a good team this year, man. Last year, it was disappointing how we finished, but you know, all the reports from training camp, you know, you can't put too much into it. But you know, it seems like a lot of the players are locked in, especially Hurts. He seems like he's locked in. So I'm just excited. You know, we'll touch on it more, but the talent is there. You know, we made some coaching changes. That was my biggest gripe. So, you know, everything's right in front of us. They just have to perform, man. But the NFL, you know, it's so unpredictable sometimes. But, you know, I think we'll be in a good position to really make some noise, you know. So hopefully we just finish the job.
Yeah, we're going to be good. Like, I looked at the Giants depth chart because, of course, Saquon Barkley is now an Eagle. I'm like, who's their running back now? Do you know who their running back is?
Ooh, the Giants.
Yeah, they got Devin Singletary. And their backups, Eric Gray and third string. This is according to ESPN, their depth chart. The third string is Tyrone Tracy Jr. And then I look at the Cowboys, because, you know, Tony Pollard, he's in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. So I was like, who is their running back? You know who their running back is?
No, I don't. I actually don't.
Ezekiel Elliott is back.
Oh, they did get him back. I didn't know he was starting, though. Wow.
I mean, they got Rico Dowdy, Royce Freeman, and Deuce Vaughn. So, yeah, go Birds. I'm excited about what they can do this year. I'm excited about Caleb Williams in Chicago. We'll get into it all. We'll get into it all the closer we get to football season. Yeah, we definitely can talk football. We enjoy football as well. But first order of business is finishing out this state of the NBA series. We're going to close out with the Eastern Conference. Pretty soon, honestly, bro, training camp in the NBA is late September. It'll be NBA season again, too. It's really wild. Yeah. We've been blessed as basketball fans, though. We had the finals, the draft, summer league, Olympics. So an Olympic year is always special because there really isn't a month without basketball during the calendar year. You think about it, January through June, the NBA got the draft, summer league throughout the July. August is all about the Olympics. In September, boom, training camp. And so really excited about what we've been able to do this year as basketball fans. And much more to talk about, much more to discuss. But thank you guys for watching and listening. Don't forget, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment as well. We appreciate you guys for supporting us along the way. Much more to look forward to. And we see you guys next time.
All right, peace out.